There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Wait a second. I don't think I can start this hour without doing this again.
I got to say, they keep messing with K.I.B. She's going to turn into a full-blown Democrat.
Okay, we'll just let it stand right there. 107 FM Talk, 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Hour number two on this Monday. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the next hour. 343-0106, 343-0106. My buddy Jeff Poore still in studio. And I want to check out one of his compatriots and our buddy from over at Lanyap, Jason Johnson, joins us now. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Good. And this I'm so glad when I saw this story pop up last week in Lanyap at lanyapmobile.com, because I was listening to the same city council meeting that you were at and reporting on, and you helped me work through what the heck was going on during the council meeting and the talk about towing in the city of Mobile and suspended tow companies. So I guess before we even get into what happened Tuesday, Jason, what the heck is going on with this?
Well, it's a lot of a loaded question. But
that's what I do around here. I load up.
Well, so there's been a few weeks, though, actually a few months now, of investigations into towing companies in general, and there's kind of been two that have happened at the same time. One is an administrative investigation into whether or not there were violations of the city ordinance, and there's also an ongoing criminal probe, if you will. And so it really depends on which one you want to get into first.
Well, when they talk about the five, how about this? The five local towing companies that have been banned from the rotating list called for accidents. Why are they banned? On what? For why?
Well, basically, individual violations of this ordinance, which kind of come down to overcharges. Specifically, in most cases, what they charge to store a car overnight after it's towed to one of their yards is the basis of why most of them were suspended.
Now, is there a rate card for this, Jason, for lack of a better term, and that you're supposed to charge all these companies, but while they are private companies, they charge this, and these people charged over that? Is that what it is?
Yeah, the funny thing about that is the rate card was a memo that the NPD sent out that had the wrong rates on it, and then they kind of got attacked by the NPD for doing what they told them to do basically about 3 years ago. So,
well, wait a second. So they're working off of a list that was given to them by Mobile Police Department for what they could, and correct me if I'm wrong, what they could charge for towing or storing, or as we learned, winching. I didn't know winching was a separate category, but I guess it is.
Right, and all that is outlined in this very long, very old, very confusing ordinance. And we know it's confusing because it was confusing to the police department. They sent out that memo, but they also had an issue where their own impound yard was violating some of the same overcharge.
Wait. The Mobile Police Department's impound yard was in violation of the ordinance of the city of Mobile?
It was. They kind of, I will say to their credit, they admitted that once it was kind of pointed out to them. And that was kind of done so by the towing companies. It'd be kind of like a... if you smelt the officer who pulled you over his breath and said, "What's been going on with you?" that kind of thing. So they acknowledged that once the question got raised, and to their credit, the last couple of weeks they've been doing a very lengthy internal audit and basically are going back and cutting checks to the people they overcharged.
Wow! So they're calling up John or Jane Q Public and saying, "Hey, when we towed your vehicle or stored your vehicle or winched your vehicle or whatever, we overcharged you. Here's the difference."
Well, actually, it's funny because not just John Q. Public, right? These are at the police impound. So there's only a couple of ways your car gets there. One is that it has evidence in it, or two, that it is was used in a crime. So basically, the police are cutting checks to a good bit of criminals right now.
Well, okay. So this is just, is this the same yard? Like, okay, if you get towed during Mardi Gras, is that where your vehicle
right.
goes?
Right. Well, that too, yes. Those are low on the totem pole criminals. But yes, if you're towed for something like that, it goes to the impound yard, and you were overcharged for storage, you could be entitled to compensation.
But if a vehicle, if you knocked over a bank and made the escape and your car got impounded there, you could be getting a check back for what they charge you to impound the vehicle?
You could. And I don't know yet if they're willing to put it on the commissary at Metro. Maybe they are, but that could work out for some guys.
We're talking, if you're just joining us, Jason Johnson from Land Yap, and this story is in depth because there's this part of it, this rate card, and I don't think everybody knew that there was such a thing. I'd tell you right now, when the story first surfaced, Jason, I didn't know there was rate card. I figured just people called a towing company, the towing company, you know, came to tow them, and you made your deal on price. So this has some, inside the city of Mobile, it has rules.
Right, and that's mainly to do with the fact that you're doing this work pretty much at the behest of the city, even though one of the guys involved in this on the towing side just texted me and told me to tell the listeners you're welcome, because he kind of helped bring about the MPD overcharge and thing. But anyway, so because the city's involved, the city wants to make sure that you're not getting railroaded by the people that come and help you pull your car off the scene they're working. And so to get on this list, which is a significant chunk of change for the companies that do it, you got to play by the MPD's rules. And that's sort of why this ordinance exists.
But could another player, okay, so if they're on the list, in other words, they would be the recommended approved people for MPD. But if we started Sean and Jason, or Jason and Sean towing, and we wanted to come in the city of Mobile and tow vehicles, can people call us and we can still go to work, or do you have to be at an approved tow company to work in the city?
Well, you have to be approved and meet certain standards to be on the list that they call from the rotation. But, I mean, you can start a private business and do whatever.
Right, okay.
And if you get in a wreck and you say, my buddy Jason has a tow shop, I'd like him to come get me, then obviously you're welcome to call me.
Okay.
The police are supposed to ask the motorist. I mean, I've heard some people say, well, I wasn't asked. But in a perfect world, they're supposed to ask, do you have a preference? If not, whoever's next on the list gets the call.
Now, what about this? During the meeting of the city council, and you quote here, Teresa Hoffman, whose husband works for one of the previously suspended companies, addressed the city council, or the council Tuesday, about an internal affairs complaint she filed against the MPD officers directing the towing investigation. She accused the department of using selective enforcement.
That's another big question. Throughout this whole process, since these companies got suspended, they've been producing some invoices from other companies showing what appear to be, by all accounts, similar charges, yet they have not been publicly brought up, and they have not been suspended, and they're continuing to do work for MPD. And I think, I'm not an attorney or an accountant, but just reading the line item, when something's labeled a winching fee and the police are saying you can't charge a winching fee, then something, there's clearly something going on there, that there's a disconnect. So their allegation is that some of these larger, more preferred companies perhaps are getting special treatment, or at least these smaller ones are getting more harsh treatment.
Yeah.
And the police deny that. They say their suspensions are based on specific instances of overcharging, that kind of thing. But, it's just kind of been a back and forth between the personnel.
But you said, this information, it either is or isn't, right? I mean, it's on paper.
I would tend to agree with you. I have yet to have anyone explain to me convincingly how some of the invoices that these smaller companies have produced are not also violations. And the police gave the impression that maybe they're investigating those too, and that's kind of what led to the Fred Richardson quote we talked about. The police are saying, well, we're still investigating them, but Fred was saying, well, if they've done a little bit of wrong, go ahead and suspend them, and if they do more wrong, we'll find out then.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, I had some fun with that clip last week. I was having a little trouble understanding it in context. So Councilman Richardson is saying that if they've made any violation, go ahead and suspend them. And if you find out more things down the road, well, they're still suspended, right? I mean, it's...
Right. Basically, he's saying, if you got me on a small crime right now, you'd probably take me to jail. And then if you do search warrant on my house and find a bunch more that I've done wrong, then you just come back and tack that on. So why are the tow investigations different?
Now, what? How many total companies? You know, we talk about these five suspended. How many total companies are there? I mean, are we going to be down to not many choices? I don't know how many tow operators are in our area.
Well, I'm supposed to know this. It's in the 50s. There's a lot. Wow. They're on that rotation list. I want to say it's like 54, but I'm sure someone's going to text me in a minute and tell me I'm off by 7 or 10 or so, but it's around there. More than a couple dozen.
You know how I like to ask questions, so you know my last one here. So is what's next, Jason? What happens next?
Well, so the MPD's administrative investigation of these suspensions is supposedly over, unless there are more violations brought to light and these or other companies are suspended again. But they've also been investigating whether or not some of these overcharges were intentionally deceitful or in violation of insurance fraud kind of deal, because most of these, the bills get covered by your insurance company. So that's what the criminal investigation is. And basically what will happen with that is, like any other investigation, the MPD will take what they find, they'll show it to the DA. The DA thinks there's a crime there, they could bring charges.
Wow. Okay, so there could be a second shoe to drop on this.
Could be. And then probably for another day, there's another separate investigation and civil action going on by the DA with another towing company that is out of this world. It's probably for another hour if you got time. I'd love to talk about it too.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you could, I want to hit that too, because it's in the story. Can you hold on over the break and we'll come back and talk about that?
Yeah, sure.
All right, coming right back, Jason Johnson from Landyap, our guest right here on Midday Mobile. Y'all got to check this story out. This is what we talked about over the last couple weeks, but we're talking about last week after City Council met, and he's done a pretty darn good job here of explaining it in his latest story over at Landyap. And by the way, a $1,600 winching fee. Let me tell you, every good old boy out there that has a winch on their truck, just looking to use it because they never get a chance, you can get that done for free. There's actually buddies of mine that probably pay you to let them winch your vehicle. I'm just saying, some real world stuff there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I mean, I guess this could go down the road of Auburn football talk, too. That's what Jason and Jeff kind of ganging up on me.
That's one of the things we share a common bond on.
Yes. I'm going to take a picture of the lid of my buddy Jeff's laptop here and see what I have to endure as a what do you call me? A bammer? A bammer. Call me as a bammer. I have to endure that. I'll somehow make it. They're picking on me here. Jason Johnson with Landyap, our guest. Of course, Jeff Poore in studio for the whole show today. A lot of fun. And Jason, you mentioned the second part of the story, and I want to direct people to look at this in Landyap, because this is like a reality TV show waiting to be made. You know that, right?
I do know that, but that's only because the reality TV bar continues to get lower.
But we're talking about the questions around towing, y'all, and we're doing this because I know you've heard a little bit of this story, but until I saw Jason's piece in Landyap, I didn't know the breadth of this. So you said the second part of this, and what other charges could be coming?
Well, there could be, potentially, if there's wrongdoing found on a criminal level, criminal charges against some of the owners and proprietors of these suspended businesses that you've been hearing about. But aside from that, the district attorney's office is also filed a civil action against another company whose owner is also facing criminal charges for a totally unrelated thing, but it's just more drama on the towing side of things here in Mobile.
Okay, so the civil side is what? What is this charge based off of?
Well, this is a civil action filed against a company called Anytime Towing and Recovery. There's a couple names of the business. But basically, they were accused of having a predatory practice of allegedly making people sign almost like a non-prosecutorial agreement. That was the wrong word. But, you know, basically saying, we can't sue you kind of thing.
Harmless.
Yeah. Right. So, and essentially, the allegation by the district attorney's office is that they had kind of armed, which, you know, I know you guys, there's nothing wrong with being armed, but if you're being asked to sign a legal document and everyone around you's got a sidearm, could be a little bit of intimidation there going on. And so they've been accused of some deceptive practices. And then probably the highlight of that in terms of news value was they're accused of doing that at one point to an off-duty Mobile police officer and basically accused of blocking the gate on him and saying, you can't leave unless you sign this. And so that wound up leading to a theft charge, basically accusing them of improperly towing his vehicle, and then with the at least air of force having him sign something that said he couldn't take any kind of legal recourse against them for doing that.
It's like, we've got your car, we're going to charge you all this money for what we did, and you need to sign here to say you're okay with it, or you're not. We're going to lock you in here in the impound yard, or what?
Basically, I don't know exactly what was said, but that was the vibe. According to the complaint, the officer had refused to sign the agreement, basically saying, you guys towed my car when you didn't have a right to, and I'm not going to sign anything. And they said, well, you're not going to leave. Again, according to the district attorney's office.
There's got to be. I mean, I can just look through what you've reported here and the number of companies and how much action is going on here. This is going to be big money. It's going to be big money in towing.
I would think so. But, I think it's also worth noting that there's big expense in towing. I mean, one of those trucks is not mm-hmm. cheap, and they wear and tear, and you're putting through all kinds of stress, pulling vehicles out of ditches, and the number of calls they're running a day. So there's a lot of upkeep, a lot of maintenance. I do think that's one thing to consider when you look and say, oh, a $1,600 winching fee. Well, that winch snaps. You're looking at a lot of money to replace it.
So what about this rate card thing that you said was so confusing that MPD put out some of the wrong information? Is there anywhere citizens can get this and know what, so we could be armed with the knowledge to say, well, in fact, the going rate for towing is this, or the impound is there, the overnight storage is this?
Well, there's a couple of places. The MPD has released updated, basically an updated list of prices that's in line with the letter of the law that is both printed in their impound and has been sent out to some of the towing companies. So you could probably ask a towing company to see one of those or the police department. But you can also go online and look at the city's actual ordinance. And, I mean, that's a bear of a thing to read. But if you spot search, towing fees, it could be pretty quick to locate. There's a pretty itemized list of what they can charge for, and the interpretation so far has been if it's not on that short list, they can't charge for it.
And that's where that winching question came up.
Right. So trucks are required under the ordinance to have a winch and have the ability to be able to use one, but there's no itemized fee that says X dollars for winching. And so basically the way it works is, well, if I have to break my winch out and I spend an hour, 2 hours pulling your truck out, I could charge you for an hourly rate, but I can't charge you specifically for having to use that piece of equipment.
Okay. So, I mean, is there any way to amend that so they don't have to charge something else,
Well, that's what they're in the process of doing now. They had their first committee meeting with some of the city council last week, and there were several representatives from the towing industry that kind of put forward what their problems were, what was hurting them and what they'd like to see change in the ordinance. And at least in terms of how it appeared, there seemed to be a lot of reception from the council members on trying to make this something that everyone could live with, that the towing companies can still make a living and work and not run afoul of the ordinance, and that the police can effectively enforce and follow themselves.
All right. And a question here for the text line. I don't know if you have an answer to this. If the insurance companies were charged, like you said, by the towing companies, does this fall into insurance fraud?
It could, arguably. I mean, but I think that honestly gets into the intent. And, if the intent was to try and deceive the insurers, that's going to be a DA question. They're going to have to look at the evidence, look at what was charged, look at how it was presented to the insurance companies. They'll have to speak with the towing folks, and they'll decide, do we think this is a criminal case that's worth pursuing? Do we think this was a mistake because this was confusing? They'll have to weigh those factors and determine whether or not this is worth taxpayers' money going after these business owners.
Jason, great work as always. Want people to check that out, and we'll get you back to talk more on what may happen next in this series of events coming up soon.
Yeah, thanks. Anytime. Always right. Glad to be on.
Okay, Jason Johnson with Landyap. And coming back for the break, more to talk about. Take your calls at 343-0106. 343-0106 works for a text line as well. My buddy Jeff Poor in studio today. He's down here in Mobile, and nice to have him in-house. New story headline came out. 19% of Americans are considered upper class. Now, what happened to the one percenters?
The 19%ers. I feel like that threshold is it's very subjective.
Okay, here it is. According to the Pew Research Center, 19% of American adults live in, quote, upper-income households, end quote. Median income of that group, $187,872.
Seems a little high.
Well, to me, it's always interesting when these things come out and they're blanketed across the country, because the life you would lead in Manhattan, making $187,000, compared to Mobile.
Yes.
I mean, that's... It should
you're
be...
like a king.
Yeah, it should be a lifestyle thing as much... Well, we'll get more details when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Six FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Kind of like inside baseball stuff, but from the files of what could go wrong. Nexstar Media Group approved by the FCC to merge with Tribune Media. This just coming out today.
The what now?
Nexstar.
Oh, Nexstar. Media,
Nexstar,
yes.
That owns TV right here.
WKRG, yeah.
Here, but has TV stations all over the place. Has been approved by the FCC to merge with Tribune Media. Setting Nexstar to become the biggest broadcast group in the United States. And, you know, as a independent, locally owned broadcaster, at a certain point, I mean, business can be business. I do business against big conglomerates every day. I don't care. Business is business. We'll work it out. I mean, but I think eventually you start losing a lot of local. And I would do the same thing. If I'm a stockholder in those companies, I want to integrate and make it, we'll have less people. If I'm a stockholder, I'm not talking about a broadcaster. As a broadcaster, I'm completely different.
Right.
But if I'm a shareholder in those companies, whatever you can do to bring down the cost of putting the product on, do, and that's going to take away local voices.
It does. Look at what happened to AL.com when they took over the newspapers. But it's just the media consolidation is a tough thing to overcome. And if you could do it in the way that you're doing it, and you could keep your overhead somewhat reasonable, and then our friends at Landyap and keep it somewhat reasonable, then you don't have to deal with the big overhead. In some ways, you have a competitive advantage over the big, you know. I mean, I work for a big media company,
yeah.
Cumulus, and I work for kind of a medium-sized startup in Breitbart,
mm-hmm.
Another really small startup in Yellowhammer. I've seen all the different models and how they where their strengths are and where their weaknesses are.
Okay, I've always said we are more nimble. They try to, I didn't get too inside baseball, but big media companies try to put the heavy squeeze on local broadcasters and local media of any sort, right? With a rate game that's done. So, but once again, that's not y'all's battle. That's my battle. That's what I deal with running the station. We're here to provide news, talk, and information, local news, talk, and information. But I just see this as a stockholder, I get what they're doing, and I would be pushed. But as a broadcaster and a citizen, I like the most number. It's the same reason that I am such a state-oriented politically. I like not having... there's some things that have to be federalized, but they're very few in my list.
Well,
because I think you get a lot different options, a lot better ideas out of a system that has more players. And the same thing I think is true in media.
Here's where why this consolidation is going on. The competition, the competition is the now you're competing for those online ad dollars. They're the big players, but they have big players. They have a big Google AdWords,
mm-hmm.
or those are big, humongous players. And now you're seeing these broadcast companies, and they're trying to merge with the print, and so they can offer a product that is as encompassing as an online product. So when Sinclair was trying to buy up all those stations from Tribune, they were trying to get in a competitive situation with the online advertisers, right?
Sure.
And that, because they could say, well, we can reach this amount of people, just as many as Google can. You ought to consider us. And that keeps the online advertisers from, that keeps them honest. So when you had that, when you had that come into the market with the Googles and all the online advertisers, the Facebook or whatever, that was the game changer, because everybody used it. All of a sudden, you're competing against that as well, and then you got to look at it from the national ad dollar perspective.
Yeah, but there's, I mean, they 10 years ago we were told that all that would come in and put us all out, right? And it didn't.
Because it's like an air strike, right? Like an air war. Like you could dominate the skies and
yeah, but there's no boots on the ground.
But there's no boots on the ground.
We are firmly entrenched in locally owned media, and you know, we are the boots on the ground. And so once again, I'm not trying to say if the FCC, I'd have to look at the whole approval process. But as an investor, I would get it, and I understand what they're doing. As a consumer of media, not only do I produce media, I'm a consumer of media. I don't like it.
Oh, it's horrible. It's a horrible thing. But you
because the same story's running, and you'll see that the TV stations are taking pushdowns from the national, and they're running stories from their sister stations and what, you know, all these
right.
other markets.
Or it's not even that. I mean, it's just a viral video,
and it's
or
50% of the stories that are running. There, and it's not that I say can't see stories from out of market, but if there's only so much space on the front page of a website or something that they're going to cover, that means there's a whole bunch of local oriented stories that don't get done.
But on the other side of that, it opens up the door for guys like me and you.
Yeah, sure.
To really own this. We
own this.
You
yes.
know who, you know who's really controlling the state political narrative now? It's not the big legacy media companies that are owned by a corporation far, far away. It's talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's
granted,
why they write.
We're corporate talk radio, but still, at least I am, but still, we're allowed to do more local and do more stuff, like the Yellowhammer and things like that. We're able to do a little bit more, get more into the weeds, because we have personal relationships, where if you just plop somebody down, all right, we're just going to put XYZ employee in this market, he's going to function as our guy. You don't have those relationships. You don't get the story like you used to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's... In a way, it's good for us individually.
Sure, it does.
But for the overall picture, yes, I get what you're saying. It's bad.
Yeah, but we are the few that are left. There are so many, you know, we are the very few that are left that made it through all those cuts in the world out there, those few voices. And yes, you're right. I think what we do here at the station, what you're doing in Huntsville, what they're doing in Birmingham, you can tell by the editorial cartoons that are jabbing at us and lines that are said about us
right.
and what we, you know, those things that obviously our impact is noticed by the nationals because they're mad at us. That's the best compliment I could get, is the fact that they don't like us.
They sneer at us. So, and if you look at the big picture media landscape, they tend to hire more nationally, and they bring in the more national, like, different worldview. But I think, do journalism in Alabama, you've got to have some kind of Alabama worldview to understand it. And I'm not saying that you need just solely people from Alabama, but a lot of these places, they bring in people, and here's how they sell it to you, Sean. Hey, come work for me for 2 years, and that'll be your stepping stone to your next job at a bigger market. Whereas that's a good model for like the University of South Alabama basketball coach or something.
Right, right.
But for journalism, there is an institutional knowledge that you just can't just put somebody down that they don't have.
It's called home cooking, for sure. Thomas is in Theodore. Hey, Thomas.
Good afternoon, Sean, and good afternoon, Mr. Porter. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for calling in.
It's good to hear your voice. I follow you all the time. And thank you for having me on this afternoon. I was wondering about these news people, too, because you get these folks like there was a Taylor. She was a weather girl. Got to listen to her voice. Really nice.
Meteorologist.
She's really pretty, and she is gone. Then you got this guy, Old Shoes. I call him New Shoes.
He
was out about 2 weeks, and that guy was gone. And I like Josh. He was a news guy. He was on with Robbie at night and Tom E-Boy, and they had the three amigos going. That was fun. And now all of a sudden, they're gone. And it just seems like a constant turnover.
Yeah, well, and there is some.
There's right now,
and it comes and goes. Like, there'll be a, from the inside politics, so there's certain things happen in the market with consolidation, and you'll see a lot of shuffling, and then stuff will settle down, and you'll have the same people in the position for a while. I mean, onesie, twosie people will leave, but not the mass, and then it'll be quiet for a while. Then it comes up, and you go through one of these cycles. By the way, meteorologist Taylor Shirello is working with James Spann up in Birmingham, which is probably in the state of Alabama, the best best weather gig.
Because he knows, yeah.
He's a good guy. Spann is a good guy.
And, she's special. I like Melissa Kastanzer.
Yes.
She came from Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Wore a cardigan sweater, no makeup, and straight hair. And then she was here, and they took her out to California. Wow. She is a number. And she's with AccuWeather now, I guess.
Yep, that's right. That's where I see her.
So we train and then let the good ones go. Is that what it is?
I guess.
Yeah, it is kind of like minor league baseball in a way, because you go to a bigger market, that's where you make bigger money, and it's kind of where you build your career.
Yep.
I remember when I started in Little League, first year, lost all 16 games.
Thomas, I appreciate it. Polcat says Taylor's pretty good, pretty and good at her job. Yeah, she's really good at her job. She's a pretty woman as well, but she's really good. I mean, she's got her weather chops. Yeah, I like Taylor. I like all the folks. You know, the list of people that I don't like in media is very, very small. It's a very small list. So hopefully it means something if I don't like that person on the list, because it's not a big list. I like most people I've worked around over the years. And I just watch these. Sometimes people leave because they got a better gig. Other things happen, time to move. And sometimes they can just, they get frustrated with the situation and they move horizontally. That's one thing you got to watch.
Yeah.
If you see a horizontal move, that tells you something. Well, if you see a vertical move, it tells you something else.
What I think you need to – the best thing the state of Alabama could do for journalism is to train them here.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody eventually wants to go home. What do you ever hear, like, we talk to Mel Showers, and he talks about, you know, why he stayed in the same market for as long as he did? Because – this was his home, and he hit the jackpot. He got to be at one station his whole career because it's his home. So if you have people locally that you train at the schools here to do the journalism, then you don't really have to worry about them looking over your shoulder to that next job.
Which, by the way, you set me up for a thing I wasn't ready to talk about. But going forward, one of the things we're doing in year 10 here, we're trying to bring some folks in here that would like to learn this trade that want to stick around here. We'll talk about that going forward. Yeah, it's good to, when I finally at 23 got to move back to my hometown to do radio, is a great thing. All right, 147, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Fun way to spend a Monday. Get to hang out with my buddy Jeff Poore. More from Jeff over at Twitter. Jeff, you use the underscore.
Yeah, I use the underscore. I do have the regular just at Jeff Poore register to me.
Right. Then why do you stick with the underscore?
I've just been with it so long.
But that was the thing we were all told early on in social media. You got to do the underscore.
It was all, but, and it's also like on every story I've written, I put my follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Poore. If you change it, then 10 years. Can you believe it's been that long on Twitter?
That's for me too. And I'm thinking about giving up the Twitter feed. Here's a locally owned radio station story. The Twitter feed for the radio station is my Twitter feed, because it was just kind of me here, and it was one thing to run it. So, but I, you know, if I try to separate.
You need a Sean Sullivan
and
at FM Talk.
And by the way, all the Sean Sullivans out there on Twitter have found me. There's little networks like on Facebook and Twitter of all the people that spell it my way.
So you're like on the list of other Sean Sullivans.
It gives me an easy follow. I get the other Sean Sullivans follow me.
That's fantastic.
That accounts for 1,500 of my followers, right? Other Sean Sullivans from around the planet.
Yeah, like meetings. There's not that many Jeff Poors. There are a few, but not that many.
Yeah, the Irish were everywhere. Let's go to JD in Wilmer. Hey, JD.
How you doing?
Doing good, man. So what's up?
I just want to make a comment on the stations and all. They can have news on 20 hours a day if they want to. But if they're going to rebroadcast the same stuff, you can watch 5 minutes of each station. And they'll go to a commercial and have 6 commercials. They'll come back and they'll replay what they just played. And, you know, they change it up just a little bit, but it's the same stuff over and over and over. And you can watch it in the morning and watch it in the evening. You watch 5 minutes or so of it. Everybody's got breaking news. Every station's got breaking news. This is important. Listen, we're the first on the job. We're the first here. But, I mean, after 5 minutes, you can pretty well change the station and go to another station. Listen to it, because if you don't, it's rehashed. It's over and over and over the same stuff. And they have it on, like I say, 4 different times, 5 different times a day. If you got a Cracker Jack salesman that can sell advertising, more power to you. But somebody's gonna see through the fog before it's over with. And I don't see where you're gonna keep pulling little tricks like that on the public, because it's the same stuff over and over. And when you know, it just don't make sense. I mean, they're making money hand over fist on the same film over and over and over. I like you said, the stockholders, I understand where they're coming from, but right. The same stuff over and over, that, you know, it's just a waste of time to try to watch a 5 o'clock news, the 12 o'clock news, the 4 o'clock news, the 6 o'clock. It's the same stuff over and over.
And JD, I understand. I feel what you're talking about. But I tell you, the problem is I live in the world that I agree with you, but at the same time, I know what's behind it. And the fact is that audiences turn over so fast. So they do that because the audience that was there 15 minutes ago is quite often not there 30 minutes later. So they run their A block again.
I would add that if you look at the total media landscape in this state, the TVs, the reporters for the TV channels, the local TV affiliates do the better jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get so much of my news from the statewide, from the local television affiliates.
Agreed.
Because they need that visual. They need that visual standing in front of a courthouse or something, whereas the print guys, we could just pick up the phone and call somebody.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, if you're not there on location, on the scene, then you don't get to see, you know that you miss a lot if you're a reporter.
Yeah, and JD, I appreciate your call. I do hear what you're talking about. At the same time, I realize why they do it. Although I might need more of the, can I get a?
I guess the same one we use.
Is that your breaking, I don't have a breaking news intro sounder. I just tell folks if we have real breaking news, I've told them before, but if I had this. Pretty official, huh? Is that the one y'all use?
That's the exact same one we use. That's the one my show uses.
That's your breaking news sounder?
Yes. You kind of like it.
You know, that's the first one. The first YouTube search for breaking news sound effect is.
This just did.
So there's your
first man apprehended for feeding the geese down in Fairhope. We're live on the scene. Johnny, tell us what's going on there.
Well, you know,
there's geese, and then there's the Fairhope police here, and it's just mass pandemonium there, Jeff. Wow, hey, you heard it here first. News live.
It looks like several of the suspects ran, throwing the bread to the ground, saying, "That's not my bread. I've never met that goose before."
There is bread crumbs everywhere.
Really, the carnage of the scene here in Fairhope.
One witness on the ground here said he had never seen anything like it before. Usually, the exchanges have been peaceful. This time, you had that third party.
Talked to Sean Sullivan, local resident, who says, "Well, I've known Bob for years, and I never thought he would be somebody who would be out here feeding geese. He was always such a nice neighbor and a good person. I was really surprised when I found out he was illegally feeding geese in Fairhope. I don't know quite what to say." By the way, I still have...
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, indeed. I just checked my phone, and... No update from Fairhope Police Department letting us know, because I called before the show started, y'all, so you know that I'm doing my job in local media, trying to find out if there had been an arrest made, or at least a ticket written,
anything.
For feeding...
A summons.
Feeding a goose illegally in Fairhope. I have not heard back from Fairhope PD.
Witnesses subpoenaed. Any kind of evidence gathered at the crime scene.
There's people running and throwing bread on the ground and screaming right now.
I gotta say, they keep messing with Kay Ivey. She's gonna turn into a full-blown Democrat.
And with that, I say, Paul Feinbaum's next. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. See y'all mañana for Mobile Mornings.